Well, we'd like to take a moment and welcome our first-time visitors this morning. I met one right over here this morning, and there may be others here that if you're here for the very first time, we're going to ask you to just do one simple thing, and that is just to lift your hand up high so our ushers will come by. They'll give you, hi, good morning. They'll give you a, go ahead, raise your hand up, first-time folks. Good to have you all across the building. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Ushers, be sure you get everybody here. There was some over there to the far left, Larry, way over there. Hi, good to have you. Welcome. We're going to give you a few moments, if you would, right now. Just take that card and just give us some information on that, and then we'll collect that up in just a few moments. And we want to invite you, first-time visitors, to come by the go-to spot at the end of the service. We have a book that we want to give you, and just meet you in person and say hello. And we are a very personable church. I hope you found that this church a very friendly church. Our ushers and greeters are probably the best in the whole wide world. If anybody gets in here and says, no one spoke to me, the only way you can do that is you sneak in the back door after the church service, because there's just no way. They look for you, so they're looking to greet you and assist you in any way to make you feel comfortable, and we're glad to have you. So first-time folks, go ahead and fill that card out, if you would. Yeah, I got it. I got it, honey. I got it. I have a helpmate, and she's a good one. Boy, she is. I mean, I thank God for my helpmate, and that's what the Bible says, if you're married, you have a helpmate. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I don't know if you've told your helpmate that lately, but you ought to just look, if you have your helpmate with you, you ought to look over to him right now and say, thank you, you're a blessing to me. I appreciate it. Ding, 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 I hear points going all over the auditorium. Wow, that was good. It works better if the pastor doesn't have to prompt you to say that. There's like 10 bonus points with that. I don't know how that works, but it's what I've discovered anyway. And listen, we want to remember that we worship the Lord through tithes and our offerings. And as I shared with you last week, the Lord's really placed that pretty strong in my heart. That is, my part is to teach you that giving is an act of worship, okay? It's not just something you do, and so it needs to be seen as that. And so we're going to take up our offering this morning. We also have these white boxes around in case you don't want to give this particular way, and some people are just, you know, particular about that. They'd rather give where no one's seeing them give. That's fine. Those are there for you. But whatever you do when you give, see it as an act of worship, because that's the way God wants us to see it. And so it's best to appropriate giving with thanksgiving. And so just thank the Lord right now for what He's given you this week, how He's provided for you, how you know who your source is. We know the Lord is our source, okay? It's not our job. It's not our retirement account. Those things could be taken away in a moment. We worship our source, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our source, our provider. And so, Father, it's with thanksgiving that we give back to you as an act of worship our tithes and our offerings. As love and faith are with it, we appreciate you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And visitors, you could just drop your card in this offering bag. That'll be your gift to us. And we are just glad that you're here with us today. So we appreciate that. Today we're also going to, we don't normally do this, but I believe that the Lord's directing in this, and that we have benevolence in our church. We are partners with Love, Inc., which is a great organization that helps people throughout the counties here in this area, and I think all over the nation, with their needs. And helps people financially, gives them counsel and so forth like that. But we believe that it's our responsibility to take care of our own folks here in this house. And we're in covenant with one another. We're a family. And when you weep, we weep. You know, when you rejoice, we rejoice. When you hurt, we hurt. And so it's our responsibility to come alongside of you. And this has been part of my responsibility. Not always. I've had an elder or somebody take care of this for me in most cases. But in the last couple of years, it's been put back on me. And the Lord, I think, has instructed that there's a couple here who's going to take that part of that ministry over for me and take care of the needs of folks in our church. And I want to introduce them to you, and I want to pray blessing upon them. And it's Ivan and Connie Evelyn. If you, where are you, Ivan and Connie? There you are over here. Come on right up here. I want people to see you. They have a great compassion for people and a love for people. And our church, what we do in our budget, see, when we support the church through tithes and offering, part of our budget, a portion of that, has gone to benevolence. It has really never been enough to meet the needs. Now, we don't pay your cable bill. Don't come to us about paying your cable bill. Just shut off your cable, okay? And part of benevolence may be teaching you how to manage your money, you know, and things like that. But we have a food ministry. We help with food and all those wonderful things. But there are some serious needs from time to time, and we want to be there helping folks. So these folks, this wonderful couple is going to just handle that ministry and take a burden off of me, which I appreciate. Would you just extend your hand toward them? We're just going to pray blessing on them. Amen. Just bless them. Father, give them wisdom and discernment to know when to say yes and to know when to say no, to hear from the Lord, and to keep their opinion out of it, and to hear exactly what you want them to do and be led by your Spirit. And that way they will not make a mistake. We thank you, Father, for the compassion you have given them and the care and the love that they have for people. Now, lead them in this ministry to do it like you want it to be done. And to the glory of your name, we say thank you. Amen. Now here's what we're going to do. We came up, the Lord, I believe, directed this, and you agreed with me, that once a month, we're going to take up one offering once a month at the end of the service, one Sunday a month for benevolence. And all that money is going to go to help the folks in our church. Now, you don't put your tithes in that, but you put an offering in that as the Lord directs. And every little bit helps. If it's a dollar, it'll help. If it's $25, it'll help. And that will go to minister to needs. Now, we've already depleted our budget for this year for benevolence. So we got a couple of more months, three more months. So we need to get some money in that account. So when the need arises, we're there to help. That's what family does. Amen. So at the end of the service today, ushers, if you'll be by the door, you'll put that money in that offering, and that'll go directly toward benevolence. And I thank God for his leading, and I thank God for a church that's always good in providing to help people. Amen. 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 Thank you, my brother and sister. Amen. Also, I just want to mention, if you didn't get the email, new members class. This was going to be our last class tonight. We need to cancel tonight's class, and we'll resume next Sunday. So those of you, is about 12, 13 people, I think it was, in the new members class. If you see someone who's not here, you know them, give them a call. We sent emails out to everybody, but please be aware of that. No new members class tonight. It will resume next Sunday. Okay. Did I cover everything? Oh, voter, thank you. Yes. Is the person out there today? Okay, so if you've not registered to vote yet, you can register before you leave church. We believe every Christian should vote. Every vote does count. Don't sit there and be grumpy and say, well, I don't like either one of them, I ain't going to vote. No, well, just hush. And get over your bad self and vote and let the Lord lead you. Okay, and I'm going to have more to say about that. I believe the Lord's leading me of that as we get closer to the election. So everybody needs to vote. There's been a high price paid for you to be able to do that, and you don't need to just throw that away. Amen? Amen. All right. All right, I have a word for you I want to encourage you with today in Romans chapter 8. So we'll go to Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. And I want to talk to you about, don't be misled by the title, Minding Your Own Business. It doesn't mean keep your nose out of somebody else's business. I'm really just kind of taking that out of the scripture, which talks to us about the battleground that a Christian has to deal with in this world is really between his ears more than it is on the outside. The battleground is in your mind. Satan is already defeated. He really is. But he'll try to convince you that he's not. And it's important for you and I to be very careful with our mind and our thoughts. Because as you'll see in the scripture today, this is where the business of God takes place. But it's also the place where the business of the enemy can take place in your mind. Now, Christian people can and do go through some of the same trials that people without God do. But the key is we've already overcome by faith, see. Everything that comes to us in this life, by faith, we have already overcome in Christ because Christ has already overcome everything. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, you need to understand that faith means that the confidence is in something. And when our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our confidence is in Him. When our faith is in His Word and His Word is His will, then that's where our confidence lies, see. And we have to learn as a Christian to turn away from living according to the physical senses, sight, sound, and hearing and touch and smell and taste and all that. And we have to learn to train ourselves in the discipline of living by faith according to the Word of God. And that's what you do as long as you're here on this earth. And so that's why I say that the battleground is really in the area of your mind. Now, unfortunately, I've seen people who know the Lord. They're born from above. They have the Spirit of God in them. And yet I've seen them suffer tremendous defeat and loss needlessly because they weren't minding the store. They let their mind get away from them. They let the enemy put thoughts in and the world put thoughts in, and they chose to believe that rather than to believe the Word of God. They chose to believe what they could see, feel, and touch rather than what the Word of God says. And because of that, they suffered tremendous defeat. And the enemy just swooped down like a bird, and he just snatched that seed, the Word of God, right out of their heart. And they just are no more protected after that happens than a lost person. And they suffer tremendous defeat. Jesus described that our life as a believer, as a Christian, is like a man who builds his house upon a rock foundation. This is what our life should be like, how we're here on this earth. And he also described the life of a man who doesn't live according to the Word of God or by faith. And he is a man who like builds his house on shifting sand. And a storm comes, like we just had. And a storm comes, and both houses are affected by the same storm. And if you are not spiritual-minded, when you go by and see the destruction of that one house that was built on shifting sand, you might say by looking at it, boy, the storm just tore that house to pieces. You'd say the storm just wiped that house out. And that's not true. Now, it may appear that way, but it isn't true because the same storm affected both houses. It wasn't the storm that destroyed the house on the sand. It was a lack of a solid foundation. It was the fact that it wasn't built upon something that doesn't ever change, the Word of God. And that is also true of your life. I mean, disease can come to you like an attack or a storm. Suddenly, you get a bad report from a doctor. And it's shaking. It's startling. Or suddenly, your finances can be gone and something's happened and what you thought was going to be there for your future is suddenly gone. A storm has come in. How are you going to deal with that? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're immune. Doesn't mean that, oh, nothing like that's going to happen to me. No. The same storms that come to everybody in this world can come to your life. So what are you going to do? Well, it's all based upon your foundation. See, just because you say, well, Jesus is my Lord, I'm born from above, I'm born again, doesn't mean that you really are building your life upon that foundation. And we're going to see that as we look more into this scripture today. Now, we need to find out, everybody here's got, if we took time this morning, I could say, everybody here, write down one challenge right now in your life. One, what you would call a problem. What's the one thing that right now, that if you could get that thing resolved, get that thing taken care of today, that you would just go, wow, hallelujah, I'd be dancing in the street. Everybody here's got at least one thing. Now, whatever that is, whatever it is for you, here's what you should do, and do it today. You should go to the scriptures, use your computer, whatever you want to do, and find out what the Word of God has to say about that particular issue. Whether it's debt, whether it's a health issue, whether it's marriage, whether it's wayward children, I don't care. Find out. Do what you got to do to find out what does the Word of God have to say about my situation. That's your first assignment. And that's what you should be doing, see. And then, once you find out what scriptures have to say along this line, write them down. Don't confer with flesh and blood. Don't go, now, brother, what do you think I ought to do about this? And what do you think? No, go to the Word of God first. You got a rock foundation you're building your life on. And then once you have God's Word about a matter, once you go, wow, okay, now I have knowledge. First you need knowledge. Knowledge is finding out things. Get the knowledge. Secondly, you need understanding. Understanding is perceiving with your spirit what God is saying through this. He's given you understanding of how to deal with this or whatever. And then finally comes wisdom, which is spirit-led living. That's what wisdom is, you know. It's being led God's way. God has a solution for every problem. Hallelujah. So once you find out God's Word about a particular matter, lock in on it. Radar. Lock in on that thing. This is what the Word of God has to say. Now, I put that Word in my eyes. I keep reading it. I go over it. I put it in my ears by speaking it out. I'm speaking what the Word of God says, and I hear myself, so I'm putting it in my eyes. I'm putting it in my mouth. I'm putting it in my ears, and I'm putting it in my heart. So that's meditation. Over and over and over again. I just keep what God says about, keep that before me rather than what the world says, see. And then I think on this and I keep it in my heart, see. And let me give you a scripture. I won't put it on the screen, but where I'm getting this from, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. And it talks about there, about doing these things, about getting the Word of God, Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. And like for a health issue, and maybe many of you are struggling with a health issue right now, and you need healing in some part of your body. Do you know that the Word of God tells you if you will do this with the Word, if you'll feed the Word in your eyes and your ears and your mouth and put it in your heart, it'll be health to your flesh? Now, is God just saying that as like poetic language? No. It'll be health to your flesh. But you got to do what God says to do. And now, once you have a word from God, now you have something powerful to build your faith on. And this is the confidence, Scripture says, the confidence that we have toward God. If we ask anything according to His will, and His will is in His Word, then we know He hears us. Okay? I know God's will from reading His Word. And now I have confidence. And I come before God and I petition Him with this Word. And God will do what He says He will do in His Word. I may have to align myself with Him, but that's what I do. And so once you have, listen to this, very important. Once you have the Word of God about a matter, very important, the devil will try to move you from that Word. Your faith, your trust, your confidence has to be in this Word. That's it. God said this. I see it. I feed my eyes with it. I put it in my ears. I put it in my mouth. I'm speaking it. I'm living it. I'm talking it. I'm believing. I'm focused. See? Now, Satan has to come. He has to come and try to move you from that Word. He has to try to move you from that Word. And so, he will do anything possible to get you off that Word, get your mind off that Word. He'll distract you with other things, see. He'll disrupt your life. Because if he can steal the Word out of you that God has spoken to you, then he can steal your confidence, and he can come in and with a storm and swipe down and swoop down and destroy your house. Yeah, he can. Even a believer, if you're not holding to the Word. See, after you know what God says about any situation, now you have to resist the devil. You have to resist him. You didn't have to resist him before. Now you have to resist him. You have a Word from God, so you have to resist him. And primarily, it's in your mind. See, the Word of God is God's part of your prayer life. The Word of God tells you that this is how you're to pray about that. This is how you're to live according to that. And so when you get a Word from God, you search the Scripture, and you have a promise from God about finances, about health, about your children, about your family, then you take that Word from God, and you lay it on your altar before God. And you thank God for this Word. Thank you, Father. I know your will now concerning this matter. And I am focused on this, and I have your mind about this matter. So now you lay that Word on the altar, but you better watch over that Word. Now, I see this all the time. I see people come forward for prayer, and that's wonderful that you do, and you should. But then they don't mind their own business in their minds after they leave. Because they go right back to what the doctor told them this or the finances, and they start talking the problem rather than talking the Word of God. And what is happening is the devil has swooped down. You didn't see him. He has swooped down, and he has taken your confidence. And your confidence is more in what you see, feel, and touch, and hear from the world rather than in the Word of God. So you don't have anything now. You've lost it. You're on your own. And so you have to watch over this Word, ladies and gentlemen, by confessing it, confessing this Word until the manifestation comes. Okay? Whether it's you're getting out of debt, like many of you came forward last week, I'm getting out of debt. I know it's God's will for me to owe no man nothing. Okay, God, you're going to give me strategy to do this. You're going to show me how to do it. I believe that, Father. And then as he starts giving you more scriptures, you hang on to that and you confess those words. See, Jeremiah 1:12 says, God watches over his Word to perform it. He wants to perform it. He wants the Word to work in your life. He wants your life to prove God's Word works. I am exhibit A. I am a trophy of His grace. That's what He wants from your life. He heals. He delivers. He get you out of debt. He'll bless you beyond all your imagination. He watches over his word to perform it. But be warned, the devil watches over God's word too. Yeah, he's watching over. He sees what you got. He sees what you're starting to believe in. He hears what you're starting to confess. And he has got to do something to come over and get that out of your mouth. Because that word in your mouth is like a sword to him. It's dangerous. And it can stop his work. So the devil also watches over God's word, see. And there's a beautiful example of this before we get into the scripture. In Genesis 15, God made a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abraham, I want you to lay down, cut these animals in half as a blood covenant, the heifer and the ram and the doves. And I want you to prepare the altar because I'm making a covenant with you. And Abraham laid all these animals out on the altar, just like God said. He's in making a covenant with God. And then what happened was Abraham had to drive the birds of prey away. The buzzards started swooping down, wanting to get the carcasses of the animals. And he had to shoo them away. Get out of here. Get out of here. You got to do the same thing. Don't think because you got a word from God, that's all you need. No, you got to watch over God's word because the birds of prey come to steal the word, you see. And you watch over that. And you got to make sure that you're doing what God has told you to do to keep the word before you. And so the enemy will send thoughts. He'll send demons that you won't see to cause some kind of doubt and distraction. And you have to learn to resist the devil in your mind. In your mind. And most of the battle, most of the spiritual warfare is in your mind. Not all of it, but most of it is in your mind. So that's why I say you have to mind your own business. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, our text for today. For those who are according to the flesh, those who are not born again, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, the things of, you know, the five physical senses. But those who are according to the Spirit, those who are born of the Spirit of God, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Whoa, did you get that? The mind set on the flesh is death for the born again person. If your mind is set on the flesh, and that's what you're seeing, it's death to you. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, they can't please God. Now, let's try to break this down a little bit. The terms in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, he's talking at first there about being a saved person, born of the Spirit of God. There has to be a time in your life, sir, you may not have known this, where you must be born of the Spirit of God. I didn't say become religious. I didn't say join the church or be baptized. Because you can do all those things and not be born of the Spirit. There has to be a time when you're born of the Spirit of God. This is supernatural. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born of the Spirit of God. And Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a rabbi. And yet he didn't know that. So don't be ashamed if you don't know it. But today you're getting some knowledge that now you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. You must receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in you. And it's not just believing in things. And then he gives the terms after the Spirit or after the flesh. What's the difference? When the Scripture's talking about after the Spirit or after the flesh, it's speaking of how you're experiencing things right now. Your life should be a continuous, ongoing encounter with the living God in every area of your life. In your marriage, in your finances, in your children, in your physical health, in your relationships. It's an ongoing encounter with God. There's no such thing as sacred and secular. To the spiritual person, everything's spiritual. God's involved in everything in my life, see. And so when you're after the Spirit, it means that how you're experiencing the things of God right now. But I want you to notice something, and I need to touch on this. You could be in the Spirit, that is, you're born of the Spirit of God. You're God's child. You're going to heaven if you die. You could be born or be in the Spirit, saved, but have your mind in the wrong place. And your mind could be dwelling on the fleshly things by your physical senses. And when this happens, you're living contrary to God's design for you. You're living way below what God has intended for you to live. And so here is a saved person, born of the Spirit of God, going to heaven when they die. But yet now they're just so preoccupied with the things of the flesh, and that's all they see. They don't spend time in the Word. They're not renewing their mind. They're not really serious about this walk with God. They may crack a Bible every once in a while, but this is just how they live. You know where you are? You're in Romans chapter 7. Because your focus is on you. Where the words I, me, and my are mentioned 40 times. And the end result of that in Romans chapter 7, if you'll read it, is pure frustration. Oh, you mean this is all there is? This is all there is to the Christian life? I just have to tough it out until I die and go to heaven? No. You're just living. You're not in alignment with God. You're not living after the things of the Spirit. You're more focused on the things of the flesh, the things of the world, as if this is all there is. Hallelujah. I mean, if this is all there is, folks, you might as well pack it up. No, there are things going on right now in the spirit world we don't see, but our spirit man will give us the knowledge we need as we need it and will lead us to make right decisions that people of the world will look at us and say, well, how in the world were you able to go through something like that? And we tell them it's all about the glory of God. I want to tell you an Old Testament picture, an Old Testament picture in Ezekiel chapter 44. You don't need to turn there. God tells the priest of the temple that he wants them to minister a certain way. Now, these are God's priests. And he says, I want you to minister a certain way. And God is very specific and very particular. He tells the priest, it's very important that you wear linen clothing. Your clothing must not have any wool in it whatsoever if you're going to minister. Now, why in the world would God be concerned about their clothing? God, why are you concerned about the clothes that they have on? Why is it that important to you? Well, there's a spiritual principle behind it. God's trying to teach us something. Wool will make your body sweat. Sweat represents man's toil and man doing the best he can in his flesh. And God does not want us to labor in the flesh, but by the Spirit of God, where there is no sweat. Adam, you're cursed now because you disobeyed me. Now you're going to have to go out in the garden, and by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to toil and get stuff to come out of the ground for you. Now, it wasn't like that before the curse, see. And so why is this in the Old Testament, and it's a picture and all these kind of things for us? Why is sweat in this sense so repulsive to God? Because God has provided the death of His only Son on the cross so that we could live by His Spirit and experience life on a whole new level separate from the flesh. And for us to walk around and try to minister in the flesh or do things just purely out of the flesh and neglect the Spirit is an insult to God who let his son die so that we could experience the resurrection power. See, a saved man attempting to live by his own reasoning and his own senses rather than looking to the Spirit of God to be led will make a wrong choice that could lead to death, that will lead to death. Let me give some examples. Abraham's nephew, Lot. Abraham said, you can choose which land you want. Lot said, I want Sodom. Was that a good choice? In the natural, in the reasoning, it was, because the land was very fertile and is green, and if you need pasture, that'd be the ideal choice, you see. But he made a tremendous mistake. It almost cost him his life. Are you with me? Moses in the Old Testament killed an Egyptian in an attempt to show Israel, I'm with you guys, you see. I'm your deliverer. I'll take care of you. And it nearly cost him his life. He had to flee as a fugitive for 40 years because he did it in the flesh. God didn't lead him to do that. See, when I say led by the Spirit, I mean God's leading you. God's leading you. Jonah getting on a ship and going to Tarshish. It looked like, hey, that's a good thing. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm not going. But it was a wrong thing. It almost cost him his life and the lives of other people. Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, stepped up to the bat boy and he pulled out the sword and cut off the high priest's ear, and he wasn't aiming for an ear. Thank God he had his aim off a little bit that day. But Jesus would have fixed that too. Now, it looked like, wow, you got to admire him for his zeal, but he wasn't led by the Spirit, you see. He was led by the flesh. Now, what I'm saying all this is that if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you're to be led by the Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit, you won't make a mistake. But if you are a Spirit-filled Christian and you don't look to the Spirit and you don't acknowledge God and you don't seek God's will and you don't pray about matters and ask God's leading in that, and you make a decision just out of your reason, logic, your physical senses, it could cost you your life. The Spirit wants to lead us. God wants us to be people that are led by the Lord. He tells us things that just purely go against logic and reason. Like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And the flesh says, well, no, I'll rejoice when I feel like it. I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, you just missed something. You just missed something that God was going to give you, show you, or help you with. As the Scripture says, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, do it all to the glory of God. And we say, no. I'll eat what I want, when I want, and how I want, and how much I want. And you'll pay a price for that. Scripture says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the flesh says, no, I'm not going to give thanks for something I don't think is good. No. And you're going to miss something. Are you with me? Scripture says, love your enemies and do not curse them. And we say, no, I'm going to curse my enemies and I ain't about to love them. And you're going to miss something. You're going to miss because you're led by the flesh. God doesn't tell you to do something to harm you. You see, when God tells us to do something, most of the time it goes against reason and logic because his ways are different and his ways are much higher than ours. And he's trying to lead us in a way to experience supernatural living, supernatural life in the Spirit. For example, when Jesus was told the disciples, he said he had 5,000 men there, probably about 15,000 on that hill. And Jesus told the disciples, now they wanted him to send them away, and he said, no, you feed them. And they said, well, Lord, we ain't got nothing here but three loaves and two fish. He said, you feed them. And he said, well, just have them sit down. Let me show you how you do this. What was the first thing he did? He took those loaves and those fishes, and what did he do? What did he do? Thank you, Father. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for 3 loaves and 2 fish? There's 5,000, 15,000 people there. What happened after he gave thanksgiving? Increase comes in the spirit when you start thanking God. That's why he tells you, look, I don't care what your situation is. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give, because increase will come the moment you begin to thank God, because now you got the God factor in here. Now you got God in this situation where nothing is impossible. You see, walking by the Spirit after the Spirit is so contrary to the mind. So contrary. So it was supernaturally multiplied to feed over probably 15,000 people. Thanksgiving is a key. God doesn't tell us to do something just to do it. It's because there's blessing in it. It's the life that he's called us to live that is supernatural living. Amen. How can you tell if you're walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh? That's a good question. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8. Say this out loud with me. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The flesh-led life, if you look at it in Galatians, you can look at us on your own later, there's a whole bunch of things there at list. This is what it's like. If you want to see if you're living life in the flesh, all these things, strife and envy, jealousy, selfish ambition, and all these things, adultery, murder, all those things, that's all the flesh-led life. And then he gives the Spirit-led life. And the word there for life is the word Zoe, which means the life of God. See, many times the Scripture, when it talks about eternal life, it's not talking about living forever. It's talking about the life of God. The life of God, the Spirit-led life is the life of God. And with the life of God, there is Zoe life, abundant life. It is the very life of God himself. The same life that raised Jesus from the dead can be yours. And the peace of God is the peace that passes all understanding. He said, I don't understand it. Well, that's good, because it's peace that passes understanding. You don't need it. It's from God. And he says, these things are yours. And then he goes on and lists in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And may I add here, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice it's singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. There's one fruit. And it is love, and it's manifested in joy, rejoicing always. It's manifested in peace. It's manifested in kindness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. That's love. It's not the fruits of it. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of love. God is love. Amen? Now, I want to kind of land this plane right here and try to package this all together for you. Okay. Now, I want you to see Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And Romans 8 is the chapter that is beginning to show us. Now, this is how a son and daughter of God is supposed to live. In the Spirit, after the Spirit. You're to be Spirit-led in everything. Everything in your life. In your finances, in your marriage, even in your sex life, Spirit-led. Even in your thought life, in your recreation, every area of your life, the Spirit of God wants to lead you. So you can have life, God's life, and peace. God wants your life blessed, and he has a way to show you how to do this. Now, here's the clincher. But if the Spirit of him, Jesus, God, Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, and that, I got to ask you a question, does he? I mean, I don't know. I have to ask you. That's something you have to ask. Is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus, does he live inside me? See, and if you're not sure, then that's a no. You may believe in God. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying you've not been born of the Spirit yet. And you need to be born of the Spirit of God. You can go to church all your life and not be told that. I didn't say about getting baptized. Did you? I know. Born of the Spirit of God. Only God can do that. And you have to ask Him. And when you say, Lord, I want to be born of the Spirit, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one is ever going to be made right with God by being religious or getting baptized or any of that stuff. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior right now. Come on in, Jesus. With your Spirit, live inside me. And something like that. When you do that, right then, spiritual birth, right then. You may feel something. You may not feel something. It doesn't matter whether you feel anything or not. It's based on the Word of God. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved from sin and the wrath of God will be saved. That's what God's Word says. We take that confidence. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me get back to this. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, okay, if that's settled, He who raised Christ Jesus, Christ is the word anointed, the anointed of God, the power of God, He who raised the anointing of Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who indwells you. Another version, King James Version, says it this way. He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll quicken your physical body. And that word literally means empowered to live and respond to the voice of God. Spirit-led. And when you're quickened in your flesh, you will recognize God's leading, God's calling, God's drawing. You'll be quickened to hear His voice and respond. That's being Spirit-led. In fact, we ought to just stop right here. And why don't you just right now, just pray that. Just bow your head. Ask the Lord to quicken you to His Spirit. Ask Him. And musicians, you can come on up. Ask the Lord to quicken you to His Spirit. Because if you ask, you'll receive. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's all. Amen. Just say amen. I've asked God to quicken me to His Spirit. Now get ready to respond. Because He's going to do His part. Now you got to do your part. Now get ready to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading. So you need to be minding your own business. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. He has something He wants you to do. He has never intended for you just to come to church and hear me preach. He has intended for this preaching to be a vehicle for you to encounter the living God. You encounter Him. And when you encounter Him, you're changed. You don't need to hear another sermon. You don't need to go to another church service. You just need to encounter the living God. You've asked Him to quicken you. He's doing that. He's doing it. Pay attention. Many people in the church, and I may be talking to you, they just need divine acceleration in their life. Because spiritually, they're way, way behind where they should be by now. I mean, they got saved when there's a child, or they got saved here, but they haven't really grown like they need to grow. And there are many, many people in this church, and it's a great church, but yet that need divine acceleration. You've got to run to catch up to where you should be by now. Many of you should be teachers by now. Most of you should be off the milk and onto the strong meat of the Word. So that I could teach you things on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and you wouldn't be like confused, like, what's he talking about? And when that happens, that means that you're still on the milk. See, you can't handle the strong meat. And you need divine acceleration. God will help you, but not without your cooperation. It may be that He brought you to this church because this is a church for hungry people. It's not a church for those who want to be entertained. It's a church for those who say, I've got to grow. I've got to grow. I've got to get on with God's plan for my life. And if you're here by assignment from the Lord, that's why you're here, to grow. Hallelujah. And so you can increase your spiritual development by doing this one thing. Say yes. Yes, Lord, to every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. If he says, go to the altar. Yes, Lord. I don't know why I'm here. Well, I don't have to know why. I'm being led by the Spirit. If he says, go help somebody. Yes, Lord. I don't know why, but yes, Lord. Sometimes you won't know why until after the fact. But you're learning to be led by the Spirit by becoming sensitive. When he says, do something, I do it. Just like when Mary, the first miracle of Jesus, when she told the servants there, because they ran out of wine, she said to the servants, now listen, boys, whatever he tells you to do, no matter how strange it is, just do it. And of course, a miracle happened. See, if you're going to walk by the five senses and reason and logic, you're going to walk in your own understanding. You're going to miss God. He's oftentimes going to lead you to do things that you don't understand why. And he's going to prove himself to you. Amen. It doesn't mean you have to be goofy and crazy and foolish. But you're just saying, Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit. Will you make a mistake every once in a while? Probably, as you're trying to learn. But you'll get better and better at hearing the voice of God. Hallelujah. As you become more sensitive. By minding your own business. Your business is to listen to God. And do what he tells you to do. That's why you're here. Now, if you're a Christian and you aren't paying attention to God and you're not really doing what he's telling you to do, then you're missing your whole purpose in being here, being alive on planet Earth. Your whole purpose is to listen, do what he tells you to do, no matter what it is. And he's looking for people that'll say, yes, Lord. You don't have to explain it to me. Yes, Lord. I hear you, and I'll do what you say. Little boy Samuel learned how to do that at a very young age, and that's what you should have been learning. But praise God, at least you're here today. And you can accelerate, and you can start catching up to where you should have been if you cooperate. Everybody, please stand. All across this auditorium, the Spirit of God brought you here today because he wants to quicken you. Just like you prayed. Now, you were born of the Spirit of God, church, so you could experience God all the time. And if you're born of the Spirit, God is not up there. He's in here. He's right here. You have to look up. He's right here. But if you're not born of the Spirit, he's up there, and you're down here, and he wants to be in here. But you got to ask him. So if you're not born again, not born of the Spirit, or not sure, just bow your head and pray with me this prayer. Just pray with me right now. Don't pray to me. You pray to God. God, I've heard today I need to be born again. I don't know what all that means. But I believe you brought me here to hear that. And whatever that is, Lord, I want it. If it's from you, it's good. And I ask you to make me born again right now. I ask Jesus to come into my life and be my Lord, my God, my Savior, and with his Spirit live inside my body right now. Come on in, Lord. Come on in. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, you just prayed that prayer. God will keep his word. Amen. He does. You prayed according to the will of God. You called upon him. He said, I'll save you. Now that's, you're born from the Spirit of God if you prayed that in faith. God lives inside you. I don't feel anything. Doesn't matter what you feel. It's based on the word. Now you got to learn to walk by the Spirit. so much more we want to give you. There's some, those of you who prayed that prayer for the very first time, there's a book up here that I want our altar workers, come on up, altar workers. I want you to give them out of these cases up here called The Holy Spirit and You. If you just prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord, come forward and speak to every one of these counselors, and they'll give you this book, The Holy Spirit and You. And if we run out, we have more in the office there. So make your way right now. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. You say, I need to respond. Yeah, you do need to respond. Because this will solidify it in your mind that you meant business. And Jesus said, whoever will call upon me won't be ashamed. Come on. Now, the others of you here need to do business with God at the altar by just coming up here and talking to God about one piece of truth you heard today and talk to Him about it. He's quickened you, but now you need to respond. Don't let your understanding and your logic, your mind, keep talk you out of it. Just simply respond. I preach the word. It's in the ball's in your court. Now, you do something with it. Amen. 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 Now just lift your hands. Father, I bless the congregation. I thank you for this wonderful family of God. Now I pray that all the folks that come to the altar will be ministered to by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless our visitor today. May they take you home with them and bring them back here if that's your will. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say amen. Amen. Let the ministry begin. If you need healing in your body, come. Believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's God's word. Amen.